Welcome to Fire and Security Chat, brought to you by Corson Fire and Security, where we talk about the technology and equipment used to protect and secure life and property. I'm your host, Aaron Whitaker, and today I'm with J.D. Burden, corporate trainer at Corson Fire and Security. J.D. trains people on sprinklers, fire pumps, and backflows. J.D., welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
On today's episode, I will be talking to J.D. about fire pumps. The first question, I guess, is what is a fire pump?
A fire pump is an integral piece of fire or life safety equipment that is used to help sprinkler systems achieve their desired pressure and flow rate necessary to protect properties.
Okay. How many gallons per minute can a fire pump provide, or is it more about water pressure?
It's actually about both. When a fire pump's designed, it's designed to produce a certain amount of flow at a certain amount of pressure. Fire pumps are capable of pumping up to 5,000 gallons a minute, and some provide pressures as high as 600 PSI.
And a fire pump, would you find a fire pump in every building, or is it what types of buildings would you expect to find one in?
So what governs the necessity for a fire pump is sprinkler design. And when the designers get a water flow test, if they don't have the water pressure or the gallons per minute to meet their sprinkler demand, then they have to include a fire pump in the application. And what that does is that helps provide the extra gallons per minute and the extra PSI so that we get the sprinkler design correct.
Okay. So would that be due to low water pressure at the public or the utility pipes, or would it be length from the water source to the sprinkler?
And again, it could be a combination of all of that. It could be lack of gallons per minute availability. It could be lack of pressure in the existing water supply. It could be just that there's no confidence in the water supply that's available and they want a fire pump. Or if you look at some of your rural areas where they build a factory outside of city limits and things like that, oftentimes you'll see what appears to be a pond out there with a little house next to it. And a lot, oftentimes those are engineered lakes and they provide fire protection water for the facility.
So they're actually pumping the water from the ponds to the, use it as a fire sprinkler?
Underneath the pump house would be a small reservoir where water would drain into the reservoir at a certain level. And then from there, it would be delivered by fire pump to the fire system inside the building.
Huh. Now, does the fire pump, when, say, a sprinkler is activated, does the fire pump automatically come on, or does it come on at if there's a loss in pressure?
It's designed to come on at a loss of pressure.
Okay.
So a sprinkler, one individual sprinkler, may not actually trigger a fire pump coming on. Okay. It may take two sprinklers in order to achieve the pressure loss necessary for a fire pump to come on.
Okay. What powers the fire pump?
So the most common drivers for a fire pump are electric motor and then diesel engine. Steam turbine is also an approved method of driving a fire pump, but they're not common. I've not seen one in all my years of testing. So electric and diesel are typically what you see.
Okay. And for electric, are they required? Do they have a backup, or is there a backup generator that powers it?
Not in all applications. Again, it's by application. Some places like a school, a hospital, things like that would have a backup generator and a standby power source. If there is that standby power source, then the fire pump is required to be connected to it through a transfer switch.
Okay. Because I'm just thinking if there's a disaster, a fire, and the power goes out, if there wasn't a backup generator, it would kill the fire pump?
If there wasn't a backup generator, it could kill the fire pump. And that is one of the disadvantages to have an electric motor driven, is if you lose power and you're without a backup power source, then you're without fire protection.
So how is the diesel more common, more preferred, or?
It's not really more common or more preferred. They're way more expensive because of the diesel engine.
Okay.
There's also a maintenance program that has to be in place, an annual maintenance for the diesel drive part of the engine. but they are a reliable source in that it doesn't matter whether the electric's on or not. A diesel's going to start and function like it's supposed to.
Okay. I guess you talked about inspections for the diesel part. For the water pump in general, what is the typical inspection testing requirements?
So all pump houses and all fire pumps require a weekly visual inspection with certain components. You check the water pressures, suction and discharge. You check to make sure that all the valves are in the open position. You make sure that the, you know, fire pump controller's in a normal state. And then testing is where you're actually going to flow water through the fire pump. You're actually going to make it do the work. Mm-hmm. Both electric and diesel fire pumps are required to be no-flow tested. Diesels are weekly. They're supposed to be started up and run for 30 minutes every week without flowing any water.
Okay.
And then electric pumps are required to be run for 10 minutes every month. Certain applications now on electric pumps are requiring a weekly run as well.
Who does those monthly, the runs, the dry runs or whatever?
The monthly dry runs, depending on the facility, it could be a maintenance person that's responsible for that piece of equipment that's starting those up, making a log, you know, that, hey, we were, you know, I was here, I did this. Mm-hmm. Corson Fire and Security does plenty of them for our customers. Just to help reduce our customers' liability, they'd rather us be the ones running it.
Okay. And annually, do you do a regular flow?
Yeah. So annually, we're gonna put the pump through its paces. We're gonna make it do the work that it was designed to do. We're gonna flow water through hose streams, mm-hmm. Which is fire hoses laid out to measuring devices. So we're gonna measure the amount of water that comes out of each hose, and then we're gonna measure the pressures that the pump is delivering that water at.
Okay.
And then we're comparing that information to the original design of the pump to make sure that it's performing the way it's supposed to.
And what's if it's not putting out the required pressure, what is typically, I guess, what's the repairs needed or typically goes wrong with the pumps?
So in your lack of performance in a fire pump, it can oftentimes it can be something very simple as far as I've seen a rock in an impeller cause a fire pump to be off its performance curve. Mm-hmm. The way the pump is built, there's a set of rings inside a impeller. They're called wear rings, and over time that tolerance gets it out of tolerance, and it decreases your pressure and water supply pressure. Oftentimes those are the two things that are going to just stick out the most as causing a pump not to perform.
Okay. How long do those rings normally last?
It depends on if the pumps are actually being ran and serviced the way they're uh-huh. supposed to be. You know, if a diesel pump is being run 30 minutes every week like it's supposed to, then you're putting 26 hours a week or a month or a year on mm-hmm. a fire pump. And so those wear rings are going to wear out sooner than, you know, what it would be on an electric pump that maybe is only being run for 10 minutes a month.
Is as far as the diesel part of the fire pump, is there, mechanical maintenance that has to be done to that part of it?
Yeah, so the diesel engine is required to be serviced annually, and that service is typically performed by somebody who's familiar with and certified to work on diesel
engines
for fire pump okay. application.
Okay. Are those parts, is it lubrication oils? And
so they change the fluids, they change okay. fuel filters and things like that. They'll test the batteries, electrolyte levels in the batteries, and they'll change the oils, oil filter. It's that type of service that's being performed on it. Okay. They'll tune the governors if they're starting to run over, you know, their required RPM, they'll adjust those if necessary.
Now, with the diesel in particular, the fire pump, does it need to be, I'm thinking of the fumes, the diesel fumes, does it have to be exhaust or in an exterior building, or is there?
So your diesel pump is typically going to be in a pump room by itself. That pump room can be attached to the building. It could be inside the building, or it could be a standalone building away from the building. There's certain fire wall requirements that have to happen if it's going to be located within a building, but then they're all exhausted to the exterior of the building, as well as your pump houses have louvered windows and louvered, you know, so that they open up from temperature to help cool the room, to help exhaust the fumes.
Okay. Does the fire pump itself, does it need to be in a temperature-controlled room like your regular, you know, fire sprinkler or your standpipes and stuff?
Right. You're going to want to keep that equipment in a heated room. Okay. It's going to be in a heated space. Typically, you're not going to see anything less than 40 degrees. In any type of pump room application, 70 degrees if it has a diesel engine that doesn't have a block heater on it.
Okay. During the monthly dry run, is it called a dry run?
Or churn. It's typically what it's called.
What cools the fire pump? I mean, is it a coolant or, I mean, can it overheat if it runs dry? Or?
Yeah, so on a on an electric pump, there is what's called a circulation relief valve. Mm-hmm. And when the pump starts running, the circulation relief valve, when it's in churn, will open up and allow water to flow so that it moves cool water through the pump casing.
Okay.
On a diesel-driven engine, the heat exchanger for the diesel engine gets its water from the discharge side of the fire pump so that when it's operating, the heat exchangers pulling water through the pump, and then that keeps the pump cool.
Okay. When during the inspections, the annual inspections, is that required? You said the regular facility manager could do the monthly dry churner.
Mm-hmm.
For the annual ones, is that do you have to have a professional? Is that required? Or
that's something that you're going to want to have a professional do, because we're measuring the flow and the capability of the pump to produce and do the work it's supposed to do.
Okay.
So that's going to be somebody that you want that's certified and competent and trained to do that type of testing.
With Corson technicians, when they go out and do the fire pump annuals, does that usually, are they also doing the rest of the fire sprinkler system, or is that?
In most cases, they'll go out with a crew who's doing the fire sprinkler inspection. We try to keep the fire pumps to a group of individuals who are a little more mechanically inclined, a little more competent, so that we're, you know, a fire pump potentially could be, you know, $50,000, $60,000 worth of equipment, and we don't want to just let anybody, you know, cut loose on that.
Yeah. How long do fire pumps usually last? How long have you seen them in service, I guess?
I have serviced fire pumps that have been in service since the 50s and 60s. Wow. That are still functioning fine. I've also had fire pumps that have been in service for less than 10 years that I've had to completely replace. So I don't know that there is a rule of thumb that one should last X amount of years. I think there's a lot of factors that go into it.
Now, is there, I'm just thinking of other types of engines, is there like rebuild kits with new rings and kind of a new internals that you can kind of swap in and out, put new stuff in? Or how easy, I guess, it is it to repair and fix as opposed to getting new pumps?
Yeah, so on a fire pump, there's what we call a repack kit. Oftentimes, the biggest service issue that you're going to have on a fire pump is repacking it. And what that is the rotating assembly on a fire pump has a shaft that comes all the way through the inside of it, and it connects to the motor. Mm-hmm. And then where that comes through the outside of the casing, there are rings of packing. It would be on a much larger scale, like packing around your sink faucet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in there to help keep the water, you know, from gushing out. And it's also to help keep that shaft cool when it's rotating, because some of these pumps will rotate at 1,700, 1,800, 3,500 RPMs. So it doesn't take long to get them hot.
Yeah.
Over time, that packing will get compressed through use. When they start to leak a little more, you adjust them until they don't. or until they get, you know, their drip a second, which is what they're supposed to have. And then over time, that'll wear and compress, and you won't be able to stop the flow of water coming out of it.
At Corson, at the training center, where you are teach, and we have fire pumps on hand or on site, correct?
Yes.
What do you normally teach the technicians here, or what are you capable? What are we capable of teaching them?
So right now, what we're working with, we have two electrics in house. We do not have access to a diesel.
Okay.
But we've got any aspect of service or repair or testing we can do to the pumps that we have in house. We can tear them apart. We can service them. We can repack them. We can remove a rotating assembly. We can, and anything that we could potentially run into and need to do out in the field as part of either an annual service or a repair issue, we can do here in the training center in a confined and enclosed environment.
I think that's about all the questions I really have. Do you have anything to add or any other questions?
No, I don't think so.
No. All right. Well, you know, thanks for joining me, and thanks for answering the questions. If you have questions about fire pumps, any more questions, you can contact your local branch, or you know, you can go online to Corson.com. We'll be happy to answer your questions. Thanks, JD, for joining me.
It was my pleasure.
Corson Fire and Security, we can also help with all your other fire security and life safety needs. Just contact us today. That'll do it for today. Thank you, everybody. Bye. If you like today's episode, we encourage you to subscribe to the podcast and rate us on iTunes. You can also find our podcast on Spotify, Pocket Cast, Google Podcast, and other popular podcast players. Search for Corson Fire and Security Chat to find it. Thanks once again for listening, and I will see you next week for our next episode of the Corson Fire and Security Chat podcast. Have a great day, everybody. Bye. The information in this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is believed to be reliable, but Corson Fire and Security assumes no responsibility or liability for any errors or omissions in the content of this podcast. It does not constitute professional advice. The listener of this podcast is responsible for verifying the information's accuracy from all available sources, including the product manufacturer. The authority having jurisdiction should be contacted for code interpretations.